Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We'll have an abbreviated session today as we continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. we translated through verse 15 last time, where Paul says, "But I especially will spend and will be spent on behalf of your lives. If more abundantly I love you, shall I be loved less?" Paul continuing his appeal to the believers here. Verse 16 sounds something like this: Estode ego u kat ebariza humas, ala hiparkon pan urgas dolo humas elaban. The translations and the commentaries take this opening clause. It's just the imperative of the linking verb eme, so the present imperative, esto. I have to confess, a man my age thought of the Beatles song, "Let It Be." So literally it's "let be." The translation or the sense of it is something like, "be that as it may," or "how whatever the matter might be," something like that. Paul then says emphatically, ego, "I did not katabareo you. I did not weigh you down. I did not burden you." Now, without context, this next statement, if you read it straight, he says, being deceitful with trickery, I received you, or I took you. Verse 16 here, as the crowds come streaming in to Greek Club, 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 16. So the participle there, hiparkon, from is kind of the linking verb to be, or sometimes to possess, actually. But this has to be sort of sarcastic in order for it to make sense. Because I was deceitful, panergos, elabon is just from lambano, of course. I took you, I guess, in a negative sense, with deceit or with guile, which is the dative of means with dolo. So again, on the one hand, Paul says at the beginning of the verse, I didn't weigh you down. So this next sentence has to be sort of ironic or sarcastic. I took you away. I snatched you or something with deceit. So again, it's this interesting interchange. As Paul works his way, he's got his eye both on those who are still opposing him in Corinth, perhaps, and also on appealing to the believers there. So grammatically, it's not that hard. Hiparkon is a participle. Elabon is the main verb. Pinergos would be a predicate nominative, because hiparko takes a predicate nominative, and dolo is the dative of means. So... But again, you have to read it. I think you have to read it with the right tone of voice. So something like that. All right. Questions from the crowds or anything like that. So we're in the middle of our symposium. Oh, our attendance just doubled. Hey, Dan. Well, I didn't know if I should cancel for symposium. I thought, well, I'll just have it. If anybody shows up, that'll be good. So.
Si.
me llamo Jeff, right.
I didn't know that the guy in there was, could speak that many languages.
Yep, that's right. Okay, verse 17. This is a little bit of a broken syntax, but I think we can make it work. So it might sound something like, me tina hon ap estalka, prosimas de autu e pleonecteza humas. Now, just to do the vocab, tina is the indefinite pronoun, so someone or a certain one. It's accusative singular, masculine. Well, it could be a number of things, but that's probably what it is here. And then apestalka is just the perfect active of apostello, I have sent. And ek pleonekteza, this is from pleonekteo, which means to defraud or something like that. And it's just an epsilon contract verb. It's a weak aorist stem, and there's the augment on the front, so it means I defrauded. And then they have it punctuated to help us, of course, as a question. And so beginning with a form of may, as it does, it would expect a negative answer, or probably would expect a negative answer. So the basic clause is, I did not defraud you through him. De autu. Now, who's the him? It has to probably be the tina. So someone of whom I have sent to you, through him I did not defraud you. Did I? And the answer expected is no. And we're about to find out about, this sort of comes out of the blue, actually, the fact that Paul has sent some of his co-workers to them, at least in the near context. And this is reminded me of the way Hebrew will start a sentence and then have a resumptive pronoun to pick up the slack later on. So unless tina is something like an accusative of respect, so I suppose you could take it that way, with regard to someone of whom I have sent to you, through him I did not defraud you, did I? Something like that. It's a little bit awkward, but and the English translations all kind of smooth it out. But it could just be the case that Paul starts with an accusative direct object, and then by the time he gets to the end of the sentence, he decides he wants to put it into a prepositional phrase, through him. So, and again, the expected answer is no. And then he goes on in verse 18 to actually sort of explain what that all is referring to. But any questions or comments about verse 17?
Could that be Titus?
Well, it probably is Titus or the brother, that Paul is about to name in verse 18. Right,
because
right. Yeah, in second Corinthians, it's more Titus. In 1 Corinthians, it's Timothy. He was sort of Paul's main man, if you will. The interesting thing about Titus, of course, is that he's never named in the book of Acts. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, you read the book of Acts, and Titus, his name never occurs. So, and yet he was one of Paul's major players, especially here in the relationship with the Corinthians. I guess not. Yeah, that's right. I was going to say one thing about this form apestelka. Of course, it's from apostello, and the kappa at the end of the stem gives it away as a perfect form. With compound verbs and also with verbs where you begin with at least two and sometimes three consonants on the basic stem, the perfect doesn't duplicate all the way. It actually just looks like an augment. So if you just had the verb stello, you might expect the perfect to be sestelka. But you don't get that much. You just get an epsilon. And so although it looks like an augment there, it's actually the duplication of the perfect. So, all right, verse 18. And we're going to go a little bit of a shorter time today because of the symposium and because I'm behind. When do I say behind in Greek? Opiso, I think. Yeah. I'm behind. So, all right, verse 18. Parakalasa titan kai sin ap estela tan adolfan. Mete e pleonektesen humas titas. U to auto pneumate. Peri epatesamen, u tois autois ichnesin. So, Dan, just as you guessed, now Paul explains what he was talking about the people that he sent through whom Paul did not defraud them or hoodwink them. So, par ekalise, I exhorted Titus, and I sent with, so sun apostela is just the aorist indicative of apostello with sun on the front. So I sent along with him, Titus, the brother. Nobody quite knows who the brother is. And there's been a number of guesses. I've even heard Apollos guessed, you know, but nobody actually knows. And then another question, this time starting with mete, so a form of may. So we'd expect a negative answer. And again, our friend pleonektao, teo, excuse me. So he did not defraud or hoodwink you. And who's the he? Here he comes at the end, titas. Titus did not defraud you, did he? And the answer is no. And then, interestingly, switch to two questions that begin with ooh. So now you expect the answer to be yes, right? And the verb here is periepatesamen from peripateo, which means to walk around or live or conduct oneself. And the augment is there between the basic stem and the preposition that's on the front. So this is just an aorist. It's a lot of letters, but it's just an aorist indicative active first plural. See the men ending. So we walked in or with respect to the same spirit, didn't we? And the answer expected is yes. Here's a good example, and you do see this actually fairly often. That is the third person personal pronoun, autos, aute, auta, used as an adjective, right? And so when it's used as an adjective in predicate position, it intensifies. So if Paul had written auto to pneumata, so put auto in predicate position outside the article, then you'd translate the spirit himself or itself. But when it's in attributive position like this, it means, anybody remember? Same. Yeah. So we walked or we lived by or in with respect to the same spirit, didn't we? And the same spirit, presumably, as when Titus and the brother came to them. So you remember the historical reconstruction, at least the typical way to do this, is that, of course, there was a great break, a rift, and a conflict between Paul and the Corinthians. Paul is in Ephesus on a third missionary journey. This is like Acts 19 and 20. And Paul leaves Ephesus, and he goes north and across into Macedonia, and he has sent Titus to try to repair the breach. So it's while Paul is in Macedonia that Titus actually finds him and brings the news that you see way back in chapter 7, brings the news that the relationship is turning around and there's been a repair of it. So presumably Titus and the brother were the ones who brought the news to Paul that things are improving. And I just found out today, actually, that I was talking to Jeff, Dr. Kloa, about this. We don't actually know how many house churches there were in Corinth, but he read one scholar that guessed that maybe we're talking about 70 people, you know, total. See, I mean, we tend to romanticize the early church, I think, you know, and so forth. For instance, I read one piece of information recently that suggested that within 1 year there were 25,000 Christians in Jerusalem. And I think what they must have done is they took the initial successes at Pentecost, you know, in Acts 2 and 3, and then just extrapolated out. That would be like half the population of the city. I think that's a little overly optimistic, you know, that's a little overly romantic. It took a while for the early Christian movement, if I could call it that, to really grow. So Paul is not probably writing here to 5,000 people or something like that. It's small groups. So at any rate, so Paul says, we walked in the same spirit, didn't we? And then he doesn't need a verb, of course, in the next clause. He just says, ou tois autois eknesen. Ichnesen, and ichnes is a step or a footstep, okay, and this is dative plural. I think this is the same term in 1 Peter where when we suffer unjustly, we walk in the steps, we follow in the footsteps of Christ. But you just supply the verb again. We walked or behaved in line with the same steps in the same way, didn't we? And the answer is presumably yes. Okay, maybe we'll get one more verse. Verse 19. Palai daketa hati humin apalagumata kat enanti theu en kreso lalumen tadapanta agape toi hiper tes humon oikodemes. Palai means are old or long ago, and the lexicon suggests here that we take it to mean for a long time, adverbial. And dakeo is just a present indicative, means to think. So for a long time, you are thinking that we are commending ourselves to you. Apologeomai means to commend yourself or maybe even to ingratiate yourself with someone.
Does apologeomai typically have a, like, does it always carry a reflexive meaning?
Yeah, I think it's deponent, yeah. I think it's middle deponent. Yeah, the dictionary only gave a middle form, so, yeah. If I could look it up actually here, I brought my little with me from college days, if you can believe that. What did I pay for this book? I paid $8.50 in 1972 for this. So you can touch it for a quarter, Dan.
No, I don't do that.
For you, it's 20 cents.
I touch it.
Yeah, it might fall apart. That's right. Well, let's look it up. Apologeo. Oh, it's at least that now, yeah. I'm hoping it's a lot more. That would make me feel good. Apologeo. Logizomai. Yeah, see, the little gives it as apologeomai as well. And again, kind of reflexive or self-involving, to speak in defense, to defend oneself, and again, the BDEG suggested commend oneself. So, yeah, so that's a good question, Marcus. So, in other words, for a long time, you think that this is what we've been doing. You think we've been defending ourselves, but that's not the case. In the presence of God, in Christ we are speaking. You sort of didn't realize the source and the nature of our discourse to you, in other words. All things, Paul's beloved, Paul says, ta depanta, all things beloved, on behalf of you, the building. And the sense is tolerably clear. This would be, I suppose, this would be an object, humon would be an objective genitive. All things are for your building. And if I had to guess, I didn't look, the English translations might very well gloss this as all things are to build you up. That's our motive. That's what we're trying to do. So, and then Paul goes on in verse 20, but maybe we'll stop here and pick up there. So thank you very much.